Let's turn to the book of 1 Peter, where we are for this term. 1 Peter chapter number 2. And it's a blessing, isn't it, to study through a book of the Bible. You know, we read through books and sometimes we wish, oh, I wish we could study through different books and really look at what the words mean and what God is saying. And it's a blessing to do that together in church, amen, and to learn together. So 1 Peter chapter 2, we'll continue with our series on victory in the last days. The book of 1 Peter, we're in chapter number 2, verses 9 and 10. Wonderful verses for us this morning. Why don't we read these verses out loud together, shall we? Just so we can wake ourselves up. 1 Peter chapter number 2, verses 9 and 10. Ready? 1, 2. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Amen. Good reading. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Commit our time to him. Lord, we thank you that we can come into your presence this morning. Lord, we thank you that you are in our midst, Lord. And Lord, we praise you and bless you for your greatness and for your goodness to us. Lord, we thank you for the precious word of God. Lord, we need your word to revive us again. Lord, we need you to show us who you are and who we are in the marvelous light of your presence and calling. Lord, we thank you for these truths that you have written to Christians facing trials, facing persecution in the day in which they live, Lord. As we seek to live a confident and courageous Christian life in the day in which we live, Lord, help us to claim the promises of your word and help us to walk in victory this week, this year, we pray. In Christ's name we ask. Amen. Now, the lesson title for this morning is to be strong in his marvelous light. To be strong in his marvelous light. Notice with me at the end of verse number 9, him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So God tells us that there are two things present in our world today. There is darkness and then there is light. There is darkness and then there is light. Either you are a child of darkness or you are a child of light. That's light. That's why we often say, well, it's only black and white with God. There is no gray in between. Darkness or light, black or white. And today we're going to look at this wonderful truth in God's word. Now remember, in Peter's day, he was writing to Christians that were undergoing or experiencing the greatest and most horrific persecution that the church had ever known. For those of you who are teenagers here this morning joining us for the first time, we talked about the people in Peter's day that were spread abroad throughout many cities in Asia, what we know as Turkey today, and the regions nearby. And the Roman Empire was now against the Christian church. Remember, Nero blamed the Christians for the great fire of Rome. Most likely, he was the one that caused the fire in Rome and all the destruction that it incurred, but he needed to find someone to blame. So he found a people that believed that judgment was coming. He found a people that believed that God was going to judge the earth by fire, as the Bible says. So they were easy to blame. And so the Roman Empire began to put Christians to death. In fact, the Roman Empire began to use Christians' deaths as horrifically and sickly entertainment, throwing them into the arena, burning them at the stakes, throwing them to lions. That is what the Christians of the day were facing. And 1 Peter is written to those Christians undergoing persecution and horrific rejection in their day to tell them and show them through the Word of God that they can be victorious. They can live joyfully in the darkness around them. And the apostle wrote to them that they have been called out of darkness. They were not in darkness. And though they would suffer, many of them horrifically, their sufferings were temporary. Amen. And we need to remember the same truths. When we live in the day in which we live, do you agree with me this morning that it's a dark day? Yes or no? You just need to open your eyes. Now, if you close your eyes, well, you won't see much. But if you open your eyes, you'll see the depth of darkness that's in the world today. Seems like everyone is lying. Everyone wants to cheat someone out of their money. You know, if you have an email account like I do, how many emails have you received from Africa trying to hoax you into sending you their bank account details? How many times have you been ripped off? And that's just the little things. We live in a desperately dark world. We live in a world that's more and more aggressively attacking Bible-believing Christians. How can we live victoriously in these last days? The Bible says the time is at hand. We don't need to wonder whether we're in the last days or whether we're dark. What we need to know is how we should live. And this is what these passages tell us about. Notice just by introduction, look at verse 11 with me. Notice what Peter calls these believers. He says, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims." Strangers and pilgrims. So here in the Bible, beloved, we are called strangers and pilgrims. Strangers and pilgrims. Now, what does that mean? Well, the word stranger simply means someone who lives for a long time in a land that's not their own. Someone that lives in a place where they don't belong to, but that's where they are for a long time, but they are not permanent residents. That's what describes our lives as Christians. Now, the word pilgrim means someone who's passing through. You know, the pilgrims, perhaps you know that word, young people, from your studies about American history. How the pilgrims went to America and they traveled through America. They were passing through different places looking for a home. And the Bible says that you and I, as Christians, we are just pilgrims in this world. We are just passing through. And Peter was just encouraging these believers that though we live in this world, we are not of this world. Philippians 3:20 says, "For our conversation is in heaven." Now, the word conversation means, don't miss it, citizenship. Our citizenship, the Bible says, is where? In heaven. From whence also we look for the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. So, brethren, we are just strangers in this world. Amen. That's what we need to remember. Sometimes we get hurt, don't we, as Christians? When we face opposition, when we face rejection, and to be honest, sometimes it's just our own fault. Our feelings betray us because it's our own fault. We forget that we are strangers in this world. We won't be accepted. We're just pilgrims passing through. We will be rejected, but remember, we are no longer in darkness. We have been called into His marvelous light. As believers, we need to know how we should live in this day. Let's have a look what Peter says, amen. All right, there in your notes, your first blank, Roman numeral number 1. First of all, we see our dark past. Our dark past. Your first blank is the word dark. Look with me there at 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. The Bible says, "Who hath called you out of what? Darkness." Don't miss that. If you are saved, God has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. So first of all, Peter reminds us that we were called out of darkness. Don't forget what Christ has saved you from. Amen. Sometimes we forget. Sometimes we can even think that we are more righteous than the unsaved person. That somehow we are more acceptable to God because of our works than the unsaved individual. No, my friends, we are but saved by the mercy and the grace of Christ alone. When God found us, we were in darkness. You know, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. I think I've listed that in your notes. You know, the Bible says, before we were saved, we were what? Dead in trespasses and sin. We were completely spiritually dead in sin. We were children of disobedience, Ephesians said. We were addicted to the lusts of the flesh. You know, lust and temptation and the things of this world. That's what we were addicted to. Our dreams were filled with lust. Our thoughts and our goals were filled with lust. Our motives were filled with the lust of this world before we were saved. We were in bondage to sin, chained to sin by nature, children of wrath. And you know, before we were saved, we may have thought we were okay, but we didn't know what God thought, did we? We didn't know how God saw our desperately wicked condition through His holy eyes. We were lost, condemned. In fact, you and I deserve nothing but God's judgment. We don't deserve His love. We don't deserve His mercy. You know, sometimes we forget that, don't we? Sometimes we think as Christians that we did something to deserve to be saved. But we didn't. We've been saved out of darkness. Notice there in verse 10, which in time past were not a people. So when we were in darkness, what does God say? We were not a people. We were lost when we were in darkness. We weren't part of any spiritual people. We were outcasts. We were a fallen race separated from God. That's the darkness. That's the darkness that He called us out of. We were enemies of God. When the Lord came for us, we were totally unworthy of the mercy of the Lord. But yet He came to us, didn't He? Amen. But my point is, just in this first truth this morning, don't forget what Christ has called you out of. You know, this is a pretty dark world, amen? The day that these believers lived in, it was a very dark place. It was a place where there was fear all around them, if you will. There were soldiers everywhere. The Roman Empire covered the known world, and Christians could be taken and put to death in an instant. It was a dark time to live in. But yet Peter reminds us what he reminded them of, that their lives in the light of Jesus Christ aren't dark at all. They have escaped the greatest darkness. They have escaped the greatest and most horrific end, which is not being put to death in the arena, but the greatest darkness, which is being separated from God forever in a place called hellfire. You see, as these believers heard the word of God, they realized, wow, we're not that bad. We're not that bad. Our lives are not that problematic after all. In fact, in Christ, how well off are we? Well, we're not in darkness anymore. That ought to cause us to rejoice. You know, sometimes we complain, don't we? Sometimes we complain about, you know, our lives and how we don't get what we deserve. And you know, maybe sometimes we say, oh, you know, I have my rights. I deserve this and I deserve that. You know, if we really got what we deserved, we would be burning in a lake of fire right now. That's what we deserve. But as Christians, we can rejoice, can't we? At the end of the day, we can rejoice in any situation because we've been called out of the depths of the most shocking darkness that has ever existed, which is the depravity of sin and the ultimate judgment upon sin. If you are a born-again Christian, you ought to be rejoicing this morning simply by being here and knowing that you're saved. Rejoicing. How bad can things get, amen? Really, if you've been called out of darkness. If you realize what you once were. When we do realize what we once were, we can rejoice. We can rejoice. Peter reminded them, you've been called out of darkness. Don't be discouraged by the darkness around you. Be encouraged. You are not of this world. You have been called out. You are separated, notice secondly in your notes, into His marvelous light. Roman numeral number 2, His marvelous light. Notice the blank marvelous. His marvelous light. Roman numeral number 2 is the word marvelous. Where do we get that from? Well, God tells us right here in verse chapter 2, verse 9, at the end, called out of darkness into His marvelous light. Now, you may be here this morning. You might be discouraged. You may be facing trials. You may be just not excited about the Christian life. Maybe you've grown cold in your heart and said, look, I was once excited, but now I'm not. I was once passionate, but now I'm just sitting still. I'm not excited about being a Christian. Well, possibly that's because you've forgotten what Christ has done for you. You've forgotten about how dark things were before you were saved, amen? The confusion and the fear that you were in about, you know, possibly breathing your last breath and not knowing where you were going and fearing the judgment to come. Don't forget about that past. We ought to rejoice we're no longer there. But also we need to know that we've been taken out of that into a brand new reality. How does God describe that reality? Well, He describes it as marvelous. Marvelous. Is the Christian life marvelous to you? Is it marvelous? Well, why is it? Well, let's have a look, amen? Let's have a look what God describes our Christian lives in Christ. What is so marvelous about our new born-again life? About walking in the light. Well, notice, first of all, point number 8. I've given you a few extra blanks to keep you awake this morning. Amen. So, we are a what? A chosen generation. That's what God calls us. That's what He sees us as, verse number 9. But ye are a chosen generation. What does that mean? Now, remember, before we were not a people. Notice the contrast. But now, we are a chosen generation. Do you realize that God reached down into the world and out of the millions of people that ever existed, you were saved and became a chosen generation in Christ? Now remember, anyone and everyone can be saved, amen? But because we are saved, we are chosen by God. We are a chosen generation. God knew from eternity past that you would accept Christ as your Savior. Salvation is available for all, but don't miss it. We are a chosen generation. What a precious truth. What a wonderful truth. We were lost, but now we are found. We were not a people, but now we are a chosen generation. You know, when the Lord began to create a new people as His own, He called out Abraham, didn't He? You remember when He spoke to Abraham? And He said, Abraham, I want you to come, follow me. I want you to be the father of the nation of Israel. What was He doing? He was creating a new people. He was creating a people of God to represent Him. But do you realize, as Christians, we have been created a brand new race on this planet? Or should I say, a brand new people? That would be more accurate. We are a brand new people. We are not like this world. Why is it that people reject us? Why is it that people persecute Christians, put them to death? Why is it that people don't want to hear the gospel? Because we are different. Amen? We are different. And let me encourage you with this truth. Ye are a chosen generation. Someone may reject you this week for being a Christian. Someone might oppose you. But you know what God looks down and sees in our lives? He sees and says, that's my people. Those are my people. Those are my children. Why do we get discouraged sometimes? Well, we don't understand the precious light that we've been brought into, the marvelous light. We are a chosen generation, amen? What a powerful and encouraging truth. And let's go on. Point number B, we are a what? A royal priesthood. A royal priesthood. You know, the nation of Israel didn't even get this claim or title. We are a royal priesthood, the Bible says. Your blank is the word royal. Now, why does God call us priests? Priests. Think about that for a moment. What does that mean? A royal priesthood. You see, it was the priests that ministered in the temple and the tabernacle. It was the priests that offered up spiritual sacrifices to God. It was the priests that had access to the presence of God. And as Christians, as believers, having been brought out of darkness into His marvelous light, you and I now, don't miss it, have full access into the very presence of God. You are a royal priesthood. We have unrestricted, unrestrained, unbridled access into the very presence of God 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, amen, for the rest of your life. because you're saved by the blood of Christ, because of His blood, you are now free to do what? What does the Bible say in the book of Hebrews? Come how? Boldly. Boldly before the throne of grace, that you might find grace and mercy in a time of need. Now, if that's true, why is it that so many of us as Christians walk in darkness? We're not in darkness, but we feel like we are. We feel like we're abandoned. We feel like we're alone. We feel like at times, don't we, that no one can help us. And that we know we're saved, but we feel lost. Why is it? Because simply we forget about God. We forget about the fact that He's taken us out of darkness and placed into His marvelous light. One of the marvelous things as a Christian, and especially young people don't miss this, you can pray to God at any time and He'll always be there. There'll be nothing between you and God. The veil has been rent in twain. If you're saved, you can come before His throne and call out to Him and know that He's there. You're always loved. You're always welcomed. In fact, God invites us to come, doesn't He? He invites us to come. He invites us to come boldly, knowing that we can have boldness because of the blood of Christ. You see how precious our lives are as Christians? Once we were separated from God, now we can talk to Him any time of the day. Why should we live as if we were in darkness? Amen? Peter said, be careful, Christians. You're suffering, but don't suffer thinking that you're alone. You have the Lord. You have something much more precious than those who are persecuting you, who are headed to an eternal lake of fire. You have God. Notice thirdly, not only are we a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, but we are a, what's the next blank? A holy nation. A holy nation. So that's your blank, point number C. Holy nation. Now remember, this is what God says of us. It's not what I'm saying of you or you're saying of me. God is saying, now that you are saved, you are a holy nation. You see, when we are saved, Christ's holy, righteous blood is applied to our soul. Before God, our standing was wicked and condemned and unrighteous and unholy. But now in Christ, we have a new standing. Now in Christ, we are righteous. Now in Christ, we are holy. Now in Christ, we know we are saved. But as a people on this earth, the Bible says we are a holy nation. When you were saved, God did something in you and changed you forever. You were regenerated by the Holy Spirit of God. He gave you a new nature. And how does that new nature experience? Well, you have new desires. You want to now please God in a way that you didn't before. That's what salvation is. It's not just a home in heaven. Salvation is not a ticket to heaven. No, it is a coming back to God for eternity. Amen. It's a desire for God that comes out in our everyday life. Holiness. You know, God said what? He said, be ye holy, for I am holy. And what an amazing thing that you and I, who were condemned and children of the devil, can now live a life that is pleasing to God. Do you realize that God loves you and that will never change? But do you realize as a Christian, you can now live a life that's pleasing to God? You can now delight the heart of God? You can now love the Lord in a way you never did before? You can witness, you can put your faith in Him, you can pray, you can give, you can serve, you can live purely. I tell you what, before you and I were saved, we had no ability to live a clean life. We maybe tried, we tried to look away from wickedness or to resist temptation, but we couldn't. We fell back into the same sin over and over again. And what did we experience? We experienced the horrific and shocking effects of sin. You know, the guilt and the shame of sin, the disgusting, impure, vile effects of wicked sin. But as Christians, we've escaped that, amen, through Christ. We can now live holy lives. We can now say no to sin. We can now live purely. We can now honour the Lord in our body and our actions. We can now live a life that is pleasing to God. And in that we can experience the joy of holiness, the joy of knowing we can please the Lord. Not to get to heaven, but because He loves us. A holy nation. What a transformation, amen? We did nothing to achieve this. Christ put it in us. What a transformation from darkness into His marvelous light. You see, this is who we are. We are a chosen generation called out by God, a royal priesthood. We are His children, invited before the throne. We are a holy nation. We can live to please our God. Fourthly, we are a peculiar people. A peculiar people. Now, maybe one of our teenagers can give us an answer to this. When you think of the word peculiar, what first comes to mind? I'm not asking for the Bible definition, but what comes to mind when you think of the word peculiar? What's one word that instantly comes to mind? All right, maybe put your hand up so I can hear. Odd, okay, good. Unique, yep, someone who's peculiar, someone who's odd. Are you a young person, Brother Hugh? All right, go ahead. Go ahead.
Idiot.
An idiot, that's right. You know, strange. Man, that bloke is strange. He's peculiar. He's weird. And by the way, if that's who we are as Christians, we would be accepted by the world. Because the world accepts everything that's weird and perverse. As long as you're not a Christian. You see, the word peculiar in the Bible has often been used in a wrong way. Some Christians think that we should live weirdly. That we should be all dressed in black from head to toe, live separated in our own little village somewhere, not be in the world. You know what Peter was saying? He was saying, hey, you need to be in the world, but not of the world. They need to see the difference in your life, that you're walking in the marvelous light of Christ. Now, the word peculiar doesn't mean odd or strange. It means precious. Precious. You can write that down if you like, but it's in your notes. It means something that is a unique possession, a precious item of rare beauty, something that is priceless. Do you see how God sees us this morning? A peculiar people, a precious people. Do you realize that as a child of God, you are precious to God? You know, some people might hate you. Even the ones that are closest to you might despise you, might hurt you, might betray you. Do you realize that you are precious to God? That you are, if you're a Christian, a peculiar, precious, purchased possession. How did God buy us, by the way? How did He purchase us? How did He do that? Through Christ. Amen. He paid a great price for us, didn't He? And remember, if He paid such a great price for us, He will never sell us. Amen. He will never lose us. He will never give us away. How many of you have ever lost something that was really, really precious to you? Something valuable. Maybe a jewel or a prized personal possession. My wife is reminding me of something this morning. And ladies will be condemning me for it for years. When we first got married, a couple of months later, our church had a Australia Day picnic every year. Our sending church had it in January. We went for a barbecue, and the last game of the day was always a water bomb fight. That year, I had decided not to get involved. I wanted to get out of it. You know, I didn't want to go home soaking wet. So I was hiding. I didn't bring a change of clothes. And of course, the guy that's hiding, at the end of the day, he becomes the target, you know. So all the kids were chasing after me with the water bombs. I was trying to dodge them left and right. I was moving as fast as I could. They couldn't catch me. But some of the water bombs hit me. And a few minutes later, what happened? I looked down at my left hand and my wedding ring was gone. Shock, horror. So you can imagine for the rest of the afternoon, we were scouring the grass, looking for the ring. You know, it wasn't only precious materially, but it was precious sentimentally. We had just gotten married. And I thought, oh no, I lost my ring. Am I going to lose my wife? You know, what is she going to think about it? So we were scouring the ground and we were looking for the ring. Next day we came back with a metal detector, my wife and I. And we crossed that grass left and right, up and down. And we found bottle lids. We found pieces of metal buried a foot deep in the ground. but we didn't find a ring. Well, praise the Lord. The Lord provided another couple of sets of rings later. But you know what? In Christ, we are precious. And how many of you understand that God will never lose us? Amen. We can never be lost again. We can never be left behind. We can never be neglected. In fact, because we are a peculiar people, He holds us close to Himself. He carries us under His wings as a mother loves her own child. He holds us close to His heart. You see, the people in Peter's day, they needed to know this, didn't they? As they faced tough times as Christians, they needed to know this. Brethren, you and I need to know this. How are we going to live victoriously in the dark day we live in? We need to be reminded about the marvelous light in which we're in, amen? So often we forget, we become depressed, we become discouraged. That's not for us as Christians. We are a peculiar, purchased, precious possession. That is who we are in Christ. When was the last time you thought about some of these facts? Let me encourage you to look over these verses again. Hold them close to you this week. You see, out of darkness, that's what we were. Into His marvelous light, that's what we are. Now, here's the last question. What are we to do? Well, lastly, in your notes, quickly, the third point, our present service. What are we to do in the light? Let's read. Have a look with me in verse number 9. In light of walking in His marvelous light, we are to show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. So the word, the blank in Roman numeral number 3 is the word service. Service. Our present service. What does God say we ought to be doing? Or what should be our response to all these wonderful truths that we've just heard? The response should be you and I praising the Lord. Amen. The word show forth His praises means to declare with our voice the excellencies of Christ to others. You see, if you realize what Christ has taken you out of and where you are now as a believer and the preciousness of the light that you walk in, you won't be able to be held back in telling others about salvation. Amen. You won't be able to be held back in telling others about what a wonderful eternity you already have. That you are already a citizen of heaven. That you are already walking on streets of gold as if you were in heaven's gates itself. Because that's how sure your salvation is. That's how sure your standing and holiness in Christ is. That's how precious you are to God. You see, when we know this, when we remember this, we will walk victoriously. We will tell others. We will be noticed in this world if we are walking in the light. We'll be quick to tell others, and they'll see the difference. Amen? Absolutely. In closing, I think about the suffering saints in Peter's day, and you know what Peter was saying? He was simply saying this: look, you're going through horrific, the trial of your faith is like fire, he said to them. He didn't say that they're not going through difficult things, but he said, yes, you are, but in that trial, you can be victorious. In fact, in that trial, you can live in God's light. In that trial, you can die praising Christ, and people will see the difference in your life. And the moment they died, they were encouraged that they would step out of His marvelous light into the light of His presence. They would see the light of heaven, amen, which is the Lamb thereof, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord is the light thereof, the Lamb of God. He is the light of eternity. And they were encouraged not to give up, not to give in, but to die joyfully. And that's what many of them did, didn't they? As you read the records of Christian martyrs, they died burning at the stake, praising God. They died being fed to lions, crying out praises to the Lord. Why? Because they knew that they had been called out of darkness into His marvelous light. And they knew that they had to just praise Him and leave a testimony that would impact the world, and it did. In our day, we need to walk in His light, don't we? Amen. We need to remember who we are in Christ, who our great God is. Hey, until Jesus comes, we will be pilgrims and strangers. That's who we are. But we have a wonderful God. We can be strong in Him. We might be criticized, but let our lives, amen, touch others. Let our message reach others. And let us walk in the marvelous light of Christ.